Liz Truss, as you've been hearing, will be the next UK Prime Minister after she won the Conservative Party leadership vote. She defeated rival Rishi Sunak in a ballot of party members. Liz Truss, who's 47, will tomorrow become the third female Prime Minister in British history, following the footsteps of Margaret Thatcher and Theresa May. The result was announced in the past hour by the chairman of the Backbench 1922 Committee, Graham Brady.
The total number of valid votes given to each candidate was as follows. Rishi Sunak, 60,399. Liz Truss, 81,326. Therefore, I give notice that Liz Truss is elected as the leader of the Conservative and Unionist Party. Liz, come up on stage.
During this leadership campaign, I campaigned as a Conservative and I will govern as a Conservative. And my friends, we need to show that we will deliver over the next 2 years. I will deliver a bold plan to cut taxes and grow our economy. I will deliver on the energy crisis, dealing with people's energy bills, but also dealing with the long-term issues we have on energy supply.
The incoming British Prime Minister, Liz Truss, speaking within the last hour. Let's talk now to Peter Foster, Public Policy Editor at the Financial Times. A very good afternoon to you, Peter, and welcome to the News at One.
Good afternoon.
So the result when it came was perhaps narrower than some of the earlier opinion polls in this contest had suggested, about 57 to 43, if I'm allowed to round the numbers up and down. And of course, we know Liz Truss lost the vote among Conservative Party MPs. She's a very tall in tray of pressing issues. Will there be any honeymoon period, do you think?
Well, it's going to be brief, isn't it? We just seen today the Kremlin saying that Nord Stream 1, which is the main gas pipeline from Russian gas into Europe, is pretty much closed indefendently until the West raise end sanctions, which I don't see happening anytime soon. That immediately puts the heat on Liz Truss. So insofar as the honeymoon, it's going to be very short. And I think if she gets it wrong, and I'm really referring to her plan to tackle energy bills, household energy bills, if she gets that wrong, she'll lose people very quickly. Conversely, you know, there's lots of political noise around, but the overwhelming issue is this issue about energy bills. And if she gets it right, there's an opportunity there for her to cement her place and get some breathing space for what will be, as you say, an absolutely daunting in tray of issues for her when she gets her feet under the desk in number 10.
There's also some of the unfinished business in relation to Brexit, particularly the Northern Ireland Protocol. Now, she was a Remainer during the Brexit referendum, but she's very much seen as the candidate who was backed by the Eurosceptics, by the Brexiteers. What do you think she's going to do in relation to the protocol? She was guiding the legislation through, which would have allowed, or will allow, the British government to walk away from that commitment.
It's a very good question, and I think, from my conversations, the general consensus is that she has very little political wiggle room on that. It's important to understand that that bill was, you know, got up by Liz Truss. Attempts to soften it was blocked by Liz Truss. That cohort of the European Research Group, the hard Brexit wing of the Tory party, is absolutely the core of her support. And therefore, while she may well tack into the centre on some of the economic stuff, particularly her more ambitious supply side tax cutting agenda, she may find she has less room for manoeuvre on the Northern Ireland piece. I guess one thing that may simply, you know, dwarf that agenda will be the scale of this energy crisis. If it gets worse, it may be that actually even the right wing of the party decides that an immediate confrontation with Brussels is not the solution. Mm-hmm. And then you may see some of the things that we've been reporting, which is perhaps a trigger of Article 16, which might be that's the safeguard clause in the protocol, you know, which might be a provocation, but actually may also create some breathing space in terms of negotiating more narrowly on trying to fix elements within the protocol rather than seeking to unilaterally rip it up, which I think would provoke, even in this gas crunch time, a pretty draconian response from Brussels.
Yeah, Well, I mean, in terms of that breathing space, that wriggle room, the timeline, well, it at least potentially is pretty tight here, isn't it, Peter? Because the EU has legal action pending, which will be triggered, what, towards the end of next week?
September 15 will effectively mean the end of the grace periods. You remember those grace periods that were agreed by both sides to help phase in the protocol, and then they were extended unilaterally by the Brits. And Brussels, whilst it didn't officially endorse that, tacitly agreed, and it suspended its infringement proceedings. And once this Northern Ireland bill came in, Brussels took that as a symbol, essentially, that the UK didn't want to negotiate. And there have been no negotiations since February. Liz Truss has had that file as Foreign Secretary. She refused to negotiate, partly because she was campaigning to be a Prime Minister in fact, if not in name. So we'll have to see whether... you know, she is prepared to create some space for negotiation. The official line is we want a negotiated settlement. I think the question is whether she's prepared to open a negotiation on the substance of the protocol, or is going to just continue to demand that it's essentially fundamentally rewritten, turned on its head, which is what the effect of that legislation would be. Before she became Prime Minister, she was very clear with Brussels that she wouldn't negotiate unless Brussels was prepared to reopen the protocol. So it's, you know, intentionally back to that old stalemate. And I don't know how much political wiggle room she'll have to move on that.
And just finally, Peter, before I let you go, the Northern Ireland executive getting Stormont back up and running. I mean, I don't know whether that's going to be particularly a priority for her. But do you think we're likely to see, if you like, a restart, a fresh start in relation to that?
I think it's difficult to see, isn't it? If she triggers Article 16, does that... give some political cover for the Democratic Unionist Party to at least elect a speaker and get the caretaker government back running. I'm not massively close to that. I would say that if you look at the entrenched positions, the DUP has always left some wiggle room for a practical fix on the protocol. But I think Truss would need to demonstrate real change, which is why I think she will push on with this legislation. Whether it really now gets the DUP back into power sharing between now and the end of the 6-month period that was set following the elections to stand up, I somehow doubt.